And hello, everyone, and welcome to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I am your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen Frederick, is here.
Stephen Frederick, also known as Stephen the Medium, also known as my most amazing husband. And Stephen, let's start with the really awesome. I don't know if it's news or announcement that today marks our wedding anniversary, and that's distinct from April 8th, which is the big anniversary of 31 years. But today, March 15th, is our wedding anniversary. And honestly, I there's no one else in this world that I'd rather be celebrating this amazing life with than you.
Wow. Why, thank you. I love the word, though, you used, announcement. Yes, I think it should be an announcement. 16 years. This morning I was at the dentist getting my teeth cleaned, and all the girls there, even the dentist actually asked me what's up for the weekend. So I said, well, today is our wedding anniversary of 16 years. And they were like, wow, that's so terrific. And I said, but that's not really the day we celebrate, because clearly, for obvious reasons, we couldn't get married. So we celebrate next month, April 8th, when we met, and that is 31 years. And just the awes and ahs after that is that the dentist said to me, boy, he said, you don't see that anymore. It was pretty cool.
Well, and that's also because we looked so amazingly young. We are. You know, we met really early on, right out of high school. So that explains it. So I can see why people would be like, what? You don't look a day older than that. Thank you.
Oil of Olay, just saying.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Noxzema.
And I'm very grateful, because I started that, you know, process early on 30 years ago with you.
Yes.
So,
and that's a shout out to Claire Ann Lavery Masick, who instilled that in me. My mama said to me two things: never, ever, ever smoke, and always moisturize and take care of your face.
No.
And I followed it. I followed exactly what she told me.
Sadly, I didn't get any of that from either of my parents, because I smoked, I drank, I party, and I really didn't moisturize until later on in life. But nevertheless, I think I.
But that was like, I don't know, experiencing smoking, because that was so. I mean, that was long, long time ago. Because when I met you, you weren't smoking.
No.
If you were smoking when I met you, you would have been on a bus somewhere. I would have shipped you off.
I smoked in college and early on, and then one day I decided I don't need to smoke, and I quit, and I never, ever, ever looked back. So I'm good for me, right? But I also wanted to say, though, just like you said, our biggest celebration is April 8th. So don't be surprised. In another month, we're going to have another show, and we're going to talk about the big, big anniversary, because that one is 31 years. And that one we celebrate with, you know, in Spanish, there's an expression, bombas y platillos. And I don't know, like, I guess that translates into, like, we celebrate with fireworks. And we're going to California.
Yes.
Part of that trip is to celebrate our anniversary in Palm Springs, which is one of our favorite destinations, and I'm really, really happy about that. And, you know, Stephen, I mean, there's so much happiness in celebrating today, but, you know, we didn't do our show last week. And we're not going to go into a lot of it just yet. There'll be a time, but we've had a pretty sad week. Last week, we lost one of our babies, 14 years old, little Ricky, and that has been heartbreaking for both you and I, because they are our children, and so it's a significant loss for us. And we, before that, it seems like we've been in this roller coaster, because we came from an amazing weekend in New York City, where we had just the time of our life, and you got to meet Boy George.
Well, we both got to meet Boy George.
Mm-hmm. And so we went to see Boy George at Moulin Rouge, and we had VIP seats, and it was amazing. Anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, one thing that I want to say, well, first of all, I didn't know you sprung that on me with the VIP, which was incredible, and having a VIP, the part of the VIP is that we were part of this little suite of, I think, like maximum of like 10 people or so that were in there, and it was just... Like, I wish every theater did this, because it was just amazing to, before you head to your seats, just sitting there in this not chaotic theater of everyone there. And, you know, the woman who was taking care of the room is bringing us whatever we wanted, whether it was wine, mixed drink, whatever the case may be, private bathrooms there. It, you know, then you go down when the show is about to start, and at the break, at intermission, you head right back up. So those lines for the bathroom, there's no lines. It was phenomenal. But, you know, when you just said I got to meet Boy George, the funny thing was when after the show and he was coming, we were waiting for him. We didn't go back or at intermission. We were supposed to, at the end of the show, go back and get our coats. And for whatever reason, we couldn't pay the tab or the tip, whatever. So the woman upstairs said, normally you bring your coats because you don't come back, but I don't have enough time, so just bring them here and we can just tally up at the end of the show. We were like, fine. But then we got swooped into meeting Boy George, and you're not going to make him wait. He's not going to wait for us. So here we are with my coat and Elix's coat, I think, is upstairs, and we're waiting for Boy George, and people are leaving, and it was, and one of the guys that was working for the theater, I said, you know, when we're done here, we have to go back upstairs because our coats are there. No. Someone's got to go now. And then, so Elix ultimately went, and I was praying to God, like, dear God, do not let me meet Boy George without Elix. And thankfully, everything worked out that the woman upstairs, right, Elix, met you. And
she did. Like,
yeah, right there. And so Elix was able to grab the coats and just come right back. And so thankfully, and I love how Boy George, we snapped a picture, and then Boy George says, no, do it. No, I wasn't looking. Do another one. It was pretty cool.
No, he was amazing. And I honestly think that was divine intervention, because how did she come down with just our coats, and
I
she
know.
Knew where to find us. And she was so gracious, and I hadn't paid the check, and she even brought the machine with her. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm telling you, divine intervention. Spirit really, really wanted me to meet Boy George, you know, and I'm happy that it worked out, because I really wanted to meet him, but I knew that you wanted it more, so I figured, you know what, I'll go get a coat.
I was dying. I was dying. I love Boy George.
That's the kind of husband I am. But also,
yes.
I mean, are you going to tell people where you were seated? Because, I mean, these were not any ordinary seats. Hello?
No. And listen, I'm not even done. I mean, you got to give me – I got to warm up, you know? I got to get a chance, you know? It's like a motor in a car.
Okay,
when
yes.
it starts, I got to warm up first. But, yes, so we – after we leave the VIP room, then we're heading to our seats, and we were in what was called the Can-Can section, which was there's no other way to say it. I could like look up and just look up the skirts of the players. That's how close we were. And I can say that because I'm gay, just saying.
Yeah, but you had no interest in looking up anyone else's skirts. Just saying. So moving along.
But it was so amazing because we were in the section where we were.
The Can-Can tables.
Yeah, they were each on each side, because then there was a strip in the middle. So each side, and I think there were 2, 4, 6, I think there were 8 people total.
Yes.
And then in each group has like a security person, you know, for the Can-Can section. And it was incredible. When I tell you, you could, you looked up and like you could just reach out and touch the players. It was, and the show was extraordinary. Elix, you and I had seen Moulin Rouge in London many, many years ago. But this one, and the fact that Boy George was in it, I still can't believe I'm saying it. Never mind that Boy George, I have a selfie with Boy George. Just saying.
Absolutely.
And his signature, by the way, too, not to interrupt.
That's right.
He signed. We had two programs. One program when Elix was checking out the getting our coats, as a couple of the players were coming out, the lead players, I had them sign the book. And it was so cool, though, because it's just the way it happened with Elix, another divine intervention. When Boy George came, we took the selfie and we were like, we want your signature. Elix handed him the one that I wasn't using, so it's just his signature alone. Is that so cool?
That is super amazing. So, I was going to say something else and I forgot, but before I forget, because we got to be taking a break shortly, Stephen, there's a couple of thank you that we need to put out. One of them is a thank you, big thank you to Jason, Michelle, and Sabrina, because they took us out to a wonderful dinner last night.
Yes.
And they're amazing people.
Yes.
And we had an extraordinary time with them.
And a huge shout out to our girlfriend, Kathy, who we love, and her mama,
and mama.
Donna. Yeah, mama Donna. Because Donna made us a homemade Irish bread. And let me just tell you, it is so good.
Yeah.
It's really good. And Kathy also yesterday, before we went out to dinner, I was in my office in New Bedford. Elix was with me because he was in his client's office, which is like two streets down in New Bedford. And I had a group reading, a single reading. So Kathy and Donna swung by. They drove down and went to New Bedford and brought not only the bread, but completely surprised me and brought a bouquet of flowers for our anniversary, which was just so thoughtful. Kathy is just an incredible person. I'm just, again, so glad that we crossed paths with her and we have her for, you know, as a friend and her mama. And you know, I also got to meet the whole family, her brothers. Also, when I did a couple of years ago, I did like a group Zoom reading. Some of the brothers are out, you know, in parts of the country. So it was really cool. And of course, then I came home from the dentist office, as I mentioned, and I had this most amazing, beautiful dozen white roses from Mr. Cintron. So,
and our boys.
Yes, and our boys.
Can't
so
leave
Elix.
Them behind.
Gracias, they were and thank you for that amazing. They're gorgeous. I love them.
They're
absolutely
beautiful.
Them.
It's a dozen white roses.
I just said that. What do you think? I'm skipping out.
But listen, before the break, we also, I mean, it's like we haven't been with you guys for a couple of weeks, so we have a lot that we need to jam in. Before the break, I also wanted to say a shout out to our producer, Mark, because he is in NYC, hospitalized, and we want him to get really, really well very, very soon so that he can get back in town and continue to do our show. And having said that, a big thank you to Jim Jones, the general manager of the radio station, for rearranging his schedule, his life, just to be here.
Exactly, his life.
Seriously, just to allow me to be here with you guys. And you won't be disappointed, because today we have an amazing guest, somebody that I personally admire. I consider him a personal friend. We met through a client business relationship, but he's now a personal friend, Dr. Jonathan Bradford, who is a urologist and who is a founder of an incredible men's program. And we'll talk all about the men's program, but it's the conversation today is all about breaking the silence. Men's well-being matters. So if you're a female and you think, oh, this is not going to be for me, I say, actually, you're wrong, because you probably have a brother, a husband, a boyfriend, a father, a male figure in your life that will likely benefit from this conversation. So I think it's important that you stay tuned and you listen, because Jonathan has so much to share about his wealth of knowledge in this area. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Dr. Jonathan Bradford joins us. We'll be right back. And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen
Frederick, Stephen the Medium, and also my amazing husband. And today we're talking to Dr. Jonathan Brett Ward as our guest. And the conversation is about breaking the silence, men's well-being matter. Now, Jonathan is a urologist. He's an integrative physician and a men's lifestyle expert. He helps men do the inner work that is required to turn their lives and bodies around. He's an amazing human, and I am so proud and happy that he accepted our invitation to join us for the second time in our radio show. Welcome back, Jonathan.
Thank you so much for making me blush over here.
Well, and you should, because everything I said is absolutely right. You know we love you, Jonathan. And, you know, we got to know each other through your work as a urologist. But over the years, I got to learn a whole lot about your men's health program and why that conversation is so meaningful. Now, the title of our show is Breaking the Silence, Men's Well-Being Matters. So let's start with that, Jonathan. Why does that matter? Why is that an important conversation that we should all be having?
Well, I mean, for many reasons, but I think the one that comes to mind most right off the top of my head is, you know, look at the mental health rates, look at the suicide rates of men. It is disproportionately so much higher in men compared to women. Now, that doesn't take away from the issues that women deal with and the mental health issues that they have, but especially from a suicide rate, males vastly outnumber women when it comes to this. And so, you know, one of the things that I am really passionate about is trying to help men process their emotions and process their feelings, remember that they're not alone, so that it never gets to that point. I truly believe that so many men struggle out there and they feel like they're in this kind of silo and they feel isolated and that they're the only ones dealing with these problems. And when we bring men together in a variety of spaces, whether that's, you know, in online forums or in, you know, in-person retreats, men are shocked to realize like they're not the only ones who feel overwhelmed in their life. They're not the only ones who feel that they can't handle all of life's burdens and responsibilities and, you know, how debilitating that can be. And there's such a camaraderie that ends up developing between men when they are actually able to be vulnerable and share how they're feeling.
And Jonathan, I know you are a physician, a urologist, and that's your career. What inspired you to hone in deeper into urology, you know, working with men, that's one thing, but this work goes way deeper. What was the inspiration for you to go there and to found, you're the founder of this men's health program, which I want to talk about, but what inspired you to do that?
I mean, you know, to be honest, you know, you, my story for me is not one that I feel is unique. I think that for me personally, right, I went through all of this medical training, college and medical school and residency, and I kind of arrived at what I thought was supposed to be the pinnacle of my career. I wasn't happy, is the reality. I wasn't happy with my life despite achieving so much on the outward with success and how, you know, traditional society defines as success. And it was, you know, namely through our work together that I was able to process and deal with a lot of my own, you know, issues or feelings and kind of, you know, get out of my own head in that capacity. And then I was like, you know, look, like so many men feel this way. And then I started seeing it in my urology practice, right, as it would come up in, you know, different physical symptoms. And that's one thing that I really try to highlight for men is that a lot of their emotions that they're feeling, they can be expressed in physical symptoms, a lot of which men come to see me for. So it was this really kind of beautiful, synergistic, colliding of events in my own life, working through that, and then seeing it reflected in my practice that really led me to create this program. And it just kind of continued to run from there.
Yeah, you know, Jonathan, as I'm listening to you, I just this past week, I shared recently, we lost one of our little boys, a 14-year-old dog who was a child to us. And I had an experience with, or a conversation with someone. It's a young guy that I actually admire, I love very much. And I was surprised he didn't ask me how I was doing. And I asked, why are you not asking me how I'm doing? And his response was sort of shocking to me, but speaks to what you just said. He said, because if I ask and I feel I can't do anything, why ask? Mm. And I think that a lot of men struggle with that. You know, like they feel that they need to have an answer, that they need to know how to save someone. And, you know, and the reality is, you don't need to do anything. You just need to hear me out. You know what I'm saying, Jonathan?
Oh, for sure. You just need to be present, right? So much of what men think they're supposed to do is, like you said, to solve everything or fix the problems. And that's what we like get rewarded to do when we're younger, is like, is solve the problem and be the rescuer. And that's, you know, in pop culture, like that's what men are supposed to do. When in reality, you know, learning how to ask how someone's doing and just being okay in the space of they're not okay, or in the space of the sadness or the sorrow or the tears, and just learning how to hold space, learning how to just be present with their emotions and not attaching your own, you know, feelings around the outcome of needing to fix them. It's a skill, and that I just don't think men understand how to do it. And so then we back away from even touching the emotions because it feels too overwhelming. It feels too much for us to touch those emotions.
Yeah, I so agree with you. I think we've been conditioned, you know, and perhaps that's part of the, you know, that gender, I don't even know what to call it, but there's this gender thing that we've been conditioned that men have to be strong, that men have to be the answer, that men have to be the one. I remember years ago, Jonathan, I was a young kid when I lost my aunt. And she was a mother figure for me, and I was devastated. I was devastated. And somebody at her funeral said to me, "You need to be strong for others." As if I wasn't allowed to grieve my aunt, who was a mom figure for me. And literally, it was, stop crying. You need to be the strong one for others. And I think we've been conditioned. Men have been conditioned. And the problem is, if not for programs like yours, then we suffer in silence.
We do. And I want to point out one thing that's so powerful about the story you just shared, right? Because not only is it reflective of like the society around us, but it reflects how powerful those voices can be, because that has been something that you, my assumption is, held on to for a very long time.
Absolutely.
Right? And unless you have the tools to understand that, like, that's not okay, right, then that becomes, you hold on to that, that becomes part of your identity. And then what do you do when you have kids? You model that. And then what do they see? And like, that's how these things get perpetuated. You know, and that's how healing can't occur, because no one is able to identify that that was a maladaptive behavior. And we just hold on to these statements and we hold on to these feelings that, you know, other people tell us this is how you're supposed to do it.
Absolutely right, Jonathan. I have so many questions. I know Stephen has some questions, but we're going to take a small break. Hang in there with us. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Dr. Jonathan Bradford, and we're talking about why men's health matters. We'll be right back. And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen Frederick.
Stephen the Medium is in the house. Today's conversation, Breaking the Silence, Why Men's Well-Being Matter. And we're talking to an expert in men's health, also urologist Dr. Jonathan Bradford, who is also a friend and somebody that I have a high level of admiration for. Again, Jonathan, welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Great being with you guys.
And Stephen, I know you have a question, so let's go right into your question.
Jonathan, I'm so glad you're here, and we love listening to you. And when you've been talking, it brought up a memory. It brought up a memory of my dad killed himself when I was 8 years old, and you know, going through therapy years later, I remember one of the therapists said to me, "Have you ever talked to your mom about this?" And I said, "No." So thankfully, that therapist said that to me, so I was able to talk to my mom and just ask her, you know, many years later, what was it like? Like, what was it like dealing with Daddy and how he acted? And it's so amazing, Jonathan, because I remember my mom saying one of the things that was very frustrating for her was that he wouldn't open up. He would say, "It's okay, honey. It's okay, honey." But he just wouldn't open up. And years after that, when my mom passed away and I was cleaning out her house, I found letters that I never knew existed. They were just, I can't even tell you how many letters that my dad was writing to my mom when he was in the Navy and before they were married. And I found cards. My mother kept everything. And I noticed that in the cards and even the letters, there was just a lot of the reoccurring, especially when he was out of the Navy and they were married and whatnot, and he was trying to find his way. A lot of, "I'm sorry, honey," or, you know, "Happy Mother's Day, honey. I'm sorry, I can't give you anything else." And when you're talking about this, I just think, my God, if Jonathan was there back then when I was a kid and offered this to my dad, and I know you can't do what ifs, but it just gave me goose pimples because I just thought, my God, how much would have that changed my dad of not feeling like he was alone and that he could open up and yeah, completely change life, completely changed my mother's life and my life and my brother's life. So I just wanted to share that because what you're doing is just remarkable, Jonathan.
Well, thanks, Stephen. And what a beautiful story. I mean, heartbreaking, but beautiful that you're able to, you know, kind of reconnect and talk to your mom about that, right? I think that's a really powerful circle to come back to as we deal with these traumas in our lives, you know?
Yeah, and to be honest, Jonathan, a couple of years after that, I think it was, I lost my best friend from suicide. And it was a best friend since I was a little boy. The family lived across the street. And Elix knows. And Elix thankfully got to meet him. And he did leave a very short note. And I was, barring the family, I was really the only one that got to read it. And it's tattooed on my brain. And part of it was, "I feel so alone."
Yeah.
And it gets me emotional right now, but it's all part of, my God, what you're bringing this sector of the population, Jonathan.
Well, thanks. I mean, I think it's so interesting because, you know, women, they tend to gather much more easily, and it tends to be more innate with them to bring women together in these different capacities, but men, we don't. We resist it, we fight it, you know. And that didn't always used to be the case, right? Like, from an evolutionary standpoint, men would gather around fires and, you know, tell stories and connect and be together. And there was so much more sense of kind of male camaraderie in the kind of ancient and more indigenous cultures. But in our Western society, we've just become so fragmented. And so, you know, one of the groups that has made a huge impact on me and in this work, you know, is Sacred Sons, and their tagline is, you know, brotherhood is the medicine. And like, I very much believe that, you know, bringing men together just in that and of itself is incredibly powerful in helping to just help men process and deal with their emotions. And again, realize that they're not alone in this. So
that's absolutely true. Jonathan, tell us a little bit about your men's program.
Yeah. So the program itself, technically, it's a 7-week program. We run 3 weeks, take like a week break, and then run 3 weeks. And it's an online group coaching program that essentially helps men to get back into alignment or kind of rediscover their alignment and their vision for their life. So we deal with things like overwhelm, integrity, creating visions, and then, you know, I have men directly apply it to their life. So we get it out of kind of theory and concept as it applies to themselves as an individual, as a partner, as a father if they have kids, as a brother, and how it impacts their careers and their friendships. And we kind of touch on these different aspects. And it runs for, like I said, 7 weeks. We do it weekly calls over Zoom that are an hour and a half long. And, you know, there's workouts associated with it. There's breath work that we do because I really believe, and it's been my experience in my own life, that getting men out of their heads and into their bodies is a huge way to help process emotions and anxiety and stress. And so that's kind of the core that we do between the calls. And it's great. I mean, I've now been running. It's pretty wild to say. I've been running now for 3 years. We started with 8 men in the program 3 years ago. And this past fall, we had 110. And now we have, like, I think 95 this round. So it's just...
Wow.
It's amazing, and the level of trust that these men have, and you know the guys that come back for a second round or a third round of the program, it just, you know, this work never ends. I mean, you know this, right? It's like you think you're done, and then you have to discover something else, and you have to
keep, of course.
You know, as my wife says, you go to the next elevator up and the next floor up in the elevator, and so it's
and sometimes in between you have. And by the way, Jonathan, sometimes in between you go down one level before you have to go up the next level. So because that's what life looks like.
Correct. And then, that, you know, my own growth has never been in a linear scale. It tends to be more logarithmic and, you know, with, you know, peaks and valleys as well, too. And, you know, but I think, you know, and my, what I try to explain to the men is that it's never about perfection, right? It's never about being everything perfectly right. It's about course correction and how fast can you course correct back into integrity? Because if perfection is your goal, you're always going to come up short. But if you can know where you're going and you're trying to get somewhere and we're going to fall off or we're going to take some, you know, 2 steps back or that elevator down a half a floor, how fast can you recognize it and get yourself back into alignment? And that's really the principle that I try to impart to them.
Now, are you planning at any point to bring the groups into, you know, face-to-face gatherings? Because from what I heard, it's more virtual, correct?
Correct. So the online, so I do two things. So I have this online program, which is the 7-week program. We run it twice a year. We actually just kicked off on Tuesday was our first call. So if any of your listeners want to enroll, I do still take men up until the second call. They just have to watch the first call before the second one because it does build. But we just started our spring round, and then we'll run it again in the fall. So that is all online. I do run an in-person retreat once a year in February on the land that Sarah and I steward over here outside of Boston. And that's much smaller. That's about 15 men doing much deeper dive work. We lead men through a variety of, you know, physical challenges, some emotional challenges. We really kind of dive deep into what the in-person of work like this looks like. And the guys walk out of the weekend, you know, kind of, they look different. They feel different. They look different. They're brighter. They're, you know, more happy. They're less weighed down by the crap they walk in with. And, it's really cool to see. So
Jonathan, if, any listener, is in listening to you, you know, whether if you're, like I said before, if you're a woman and you think your husband, your brother, your sibling, your child would benefit from a program like this, how would you say they will self-identify for this program? You know, is it somebody that is feeling down about themselves? Could it be somebody that lost a job and they can't seem to find something and they're now sort of feeling shame? Is it somebody that is having difficulty in a relationship, or they're having difficulty with something about themselves and feeling embarrassment or stigma of some sort? How do they self-identify for the program, Jonathan?
I would say all of the above, right? I mean, all of those things, you know, we address all of those things because it's all about how they feel about themselves. Right. And so whether it's manifested in loss of a job, I mean, I have men coming into the program, like, you know, this round, right, who, you know, are struggling in their marriage. They have new kids, and they don't know how to be a dad, and then their relationship is suffering because of that. I have several men who have lost jobs, and they're struggling to get back out there, and the confidence from that. You know, we have men who, you know, just the underlying themes that I think are so real for men is that they feel like they should be happier, but they're not, right? They feel like they should be enjoying their life, but they're not. And then we look at, okay, why is that? And that's really what we dive into in the program. So, you know, this program really is designed for men to try to, you know, help them figure out, like, what is missing in their life. And I would argue that the thing that's missing is inner work, right? You don't have to blow up your life. You don't have to go through a divorce or completely change jobs or, you know, wait for your kids to leave school in order to change how you feel. I think what is missing in most men's life for their ability to be and experience more happiness is this inner work. And that's what I get guys to understand and help them begin that journey. Because, you know, as you know, this journey doesn't end after 6 or 7 weeks or even a retreat, right? The journey is, it's a perspective shift and a mind shift and a mindset shift towards personal growth and inner work. And I help men try to get on that journey, on that path.
And I heard you before use the word integrity. And when I hear the word integrity, first of all, in our context, because Jonathan and I know each other for many years, integrity is not about judgment or evaluation. Integrity is really about it's, you know, it's foundational integrity, right? It's like building a structure. Yeah. The most important part of any structure is the foundation. So when I heard you talk about integrity, you know, that inner work is the foundation of anything that you do, anything that you build personally and professionally. So I can see why that really matters.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's fun reflecting on a lot of our times together and how it gets woven into the course and into my, you know, understanding of this type of work, because, you know, there's lots of different flavors out there of, you know, inner work and men's work. And I think what's really great is when men can take something and then make it, you know, a reflection of themselves and how they live their life. And that's what I try to do.
I love that. I love that because I that's one of my taglines, you know. There's something for everyone. Nothing needs to look exactly the same way than it looks for me, then it's going to look for you. Whatever works for you, and that's perfect. It's perfect exactly the way it is and perfect exactly the way it isn't. Jonathan, we need to take another break. When we come back, I want to ask you specifically to speak to our listeners and give them some very specific advice as to what they can do. Of course, they can join your program, but there's many other things that they could do in the interim. But we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. And hello, everyone. Welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix. With me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen Frederick is here.
Stephen the Medium, attorney Stephen Frederick, and also my amazing husband. And today we are talking about breaking the silence, why men's well-being matter. And we have expert in men's health, Dr. Jonathan Bradford, who happens to be my friend and somebody that I have known for many years and admire a whole lot. Thank you for being with us, Jonathan.
You're so welcome. Nice to be here.
And Stephen, I think you... you wanted to add something.
Yeah, Jonathan, I have a question. So based on what your this whole program's about and how incredibly helpful it is, but looking at the population that is joining this group, now you add the population that's in need of this group, but is also gay, my community. So right. Hearing you and hearing talking about this, and if I was in a place that a group would be something that I think I may take a step forward and be beneficial, it would be beneficial to me, I will tell you, I would hesitate thinking, and this is going to be a bunch of straight guys talking about straight guy problems, and would you ever consider, because this is this what you're doing is phenomenal, of doing some kind of program because we've got this huge population of gay guys that have the same problems, but now you add the gay piece or gay component to it. Would you ever at some place down the road think about doing the same thing but for just gay males? But I will tell you, when I was in therapy and that great therapist that told me to talk to my mom also said, you know, would you ever feel you'd be interested in joining a group? And I said no. And as soon as he said a gay guys group, I said yes. So
right.
What's your feeling about that?
I think it's first of all, thank you for the question. It's something that I have sat with before, and you know, this is my take on it. Is there's so many different groups out there for men. Now there are, I do not believe there are a lot of gay coaches out there who are running groups like this or who are talking about this. I cannot pretend to know what it's like to be a homosexual man in today's world. I know my experience, and I often teach from my own experience, which is a white heterosexual male with 3 kids and a professional career. And so I do think lots of men in my community are drawn to me for that, and they're drawn to other men for the fact that they're not that, right? That they are more of an entrepreneur, they're more of a CEO, or they look different than I do. And so I think every man, regardless of race or gender or sexual orientation, would benefit from this work. I don't know if I could be in integrity or in alignment with trying to teach from my own place of lived experience, trying to help gay men in that way. Now, would I work with a gay coach? 100%. I would love to do that. I think that.
Well, there's one right here available.
That would be phenomenal. I think that would be absolutely great. I would love to do that because I think there's something, you know, I've had men come to me who have done the online programs and done the retreat, and they've reflected to me how genuine and in alignment with how I live and what I teach. And I would think, and I am very honored by that. And for me personally, it would be very hard to try to speak to a group of homosexual men about this, not knowing how that must feel.
Jonathan, just come over for a weekend with us, and you'll know how it feels. No, but I love that. Jonathan, I love that because that's what I was thinking and why I asked the question too, an offshoot of what you're doing. I mean, I so respect your answer, but I also think that, and like you just mentioned, coaching, you know, a coach who's gay to be able to listen to you and what you're doing and sort of use that to do a group like that it's just amazing. I think I'm just such a fan of what you're doing. It's like, just keep going with it, you know?
Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been fun watching it grow. It really has.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and again, you and I, actually, Stephen, you just created the possibility of a great partnership. So to be continued, Jonathan, I just made a note in the vault for me. But listen, there are people who are listening to you, and I know we have listeners who are saying, I'm struggling, and I don't feel I can talk to anyone, or I am ashamed, or I'm embarrassed, or I feel less than. I want you to talk to them, Jonathan. What can they do? What's one or two things they could do right now that can help them put them in the right pathway? At some point, they will reach out to you. They'll do your program, but they may not be there yet. But today, we have an opportunity to give them something. What is that one thing that you would say they could do right now?
I think it's a great question. I think if men or women listening could do one thing to help them feel better in this moment, it's going to sound a little counterintuitive, but I would suggest that they write down all the things that are causing them to feel overwhelmed in their life. This is the exercise we just did this week for the men in the program, right? Because when it's stuck in your head and it's you're constantly ruminating on it all day long and it's just running on a cycle throughout your head, it has you have no chance of getting away from it. It's constantly in the background. It's constantly there. But when we put it down on paper, we say, holy shit, either that's a lot of stuff or that's actually not that bad. But there's no way to get into action around taking care of any of these things until you get it out of your head and onto out in the open. So make a list. I mean, I was feeling completely overwhelmed this past week. You know, my wife's out of town. She's, you know, I'm taking care of three kids, you know, doing this stuff. We had our first call, and I was like, I just need to make my list. So I made my overwhelm list, right? Again, practice what you preach. So I would encourage them to take a minute, go outside, feel the ground, ground yourself a little bit, and then make a list of all the things that are causing you to feel overwhelmed.
I love that, Stephen. I find it amazing that everything, it almost like people that we bring into this conversation almost like align with how we operate, because that's something absolutely. That you talk about so often.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jonathan, again, listening to you, and I've listened to you, you know, for years, and but I'm always fascinated. People who are listening and they want to connect with you, they want to learn more about the program, they want to know more about what it is that you do, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, so the two ways are the easiest way, probably social media. So through Instagram, they can send me a message there. My handle is Jonathan Brightboard. And then my website is jonathanbrightboard.com. And you can read about the program. It's technically closed. If you wanted to sign up, even after we close the doors, you can contact me and get in touch and just shoot me a message and I will get back to you about the program. But that's the best way to get in touch is either through my website or on Instagram.
And spell your last name, because it's not like it sounds.
Not like it sounds. So first name is Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N. Last name is B as in boy, R-A-J-T-B-O-R-D.
There you go. So there is an amazing resource. If you are relating to this conversation, if you know this conversation is for you, if Jonathan is speaking to you, this is your opportunity to make that connection and take that first step right now. Jonathan, I cannot thank you enough for your time, your attention, and sharing it with us so generously. We absolutely love you. We love you having you here, and we can't wait to have you again. And like Stephen said, maybe at some point, you'll be willing to spend some time with the gays here in Cape Cod. Just saying.
Anytime. Thanks,
Jonathan, thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. It's great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. What an amazing conversation, Stephen.
Yeah, he really is. Like usual, when you have a guest like him that is just so interesting, you, literally in a blink of an eye, I looked, I'm like, I cannot believe it's almost 2 o'clock and I want to keep going with him.
I know.
It's
I love how he speaks from the heart. Yeah, you can feel that.
It's very, very authentic, which is incredible. And something that, you know, it's not just prevalent now in this world, so.
Yeah. So, Stephen, we are at the top of the hour. So tell people, anything else you want to tell people about you?
Well, where do we
you start? Only like have 2 minutes. School? You only have, actually, you only have 1 minute. So let's go.
Well, you can find me under Stephen the Medium anywhere and everywhere. If you go to my website, you can see all the events and courses that I teach. And I'll tell you, April is really busy. I was looking at April to do like individual readings. I have one Saturday in April because the other Saturdays are all groups. It's kind of crazy. So, and I am doing a big group in Middleborough. If you're in Massachusetts or nearby state of Massachusetts, it is Elix, talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourself. Well, you can find me at Coach Elix anywhere on social media, and if you are not following, you should be following me. And of course, we're going to have this conversation again. If we have this conversation every Friday, the last Friday of the month. We switch seats and Stephen the medium takes over and he does readings. So stay tuned for that. And again, we haven't done our Sundays with Steelix in a few weeks because we've been dealing with some, you know, personal breakdowns, as we stated earlier in the show. But we're going to get back to that soon. So stay tuned for that.
And by the way, it's April 13th. I'm doing a group reading. I think there's capacities like 90 people at the American Legion 90 at 90 Maple Street in Marlborough, Mass. And the other groups are private groups. So in any case, so if you haven't seen me, plus you get to meet Elix if you come, and it's a lot.
If he comes, as if I have a choice in the matter. So I don't have a choice. I will.
But listen, and one last thing too, Elix, for everyone who's listening now or listening, you know, on the podcast soon, please just yell out and send out a prayer to Mark. The prayer will know exactly where it's going to our producer to get him healthy, to get him back home, and to get him into the studio. So we love you, Mark.
We love you, Mark. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Jim.
And we'll be right back next week with another amazing show. See you, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend.
Bye.